Blog Talk Radio.
Clear creeks and cool mountain mornings, honest work out in the field, cornbread in my mama's kitchen, daddy's saying grace before the meal. Family ties run deep in this land, and I'm never very far from what I am. I was born country, and that's what I'll always be. Like the rivers and the woodland, wild and free. I got 100 years of down home running through my blood. I was born country, and this country's what I love. Moonlight, and you here beside me, crickets serenading. What more could two people ask for, laying here in love beneath the stars? Now this is where I want to raise my kids, just the way my mom and daddy did. I was born country, and that's what I'll always be. Like the rivers and the woodlands, wild and free. I got 100 years of down home running through my blood. I was born country, and this country's what I love. That's what I'll always be. Like the rivers and the woodlands, wild and free. I got 100 years of down home running through my blood. I was born country, and this country's what I love.
Good evening, everyone. Thank you so much for joining me on this Saturday evening, June 6th, 2012, for a special program remembering Bob Chapman. It has indeed been a sad week, I'm sure, not only for me, but for many, many other people. Mr. Chapman was age 76, and he did have family in Winter Haven, Florida, but because of some of the things, the patriotic things that he said, the government was not real happy with him, and he did live in Mexico for at least 10 years. And he died this past Monday, June 4th, due to pancreatic cancer. He was born in Boston, Massachusetts, on October 16th, 1935. And As most of you know, he was a writer of the very popular newsletter, The International Forecaster, which discussed finances, economics, and Bob would talk just about anything at all. Bob was also a veteran of the U.S. Army, which many people did not know. Most of his working life, he served as a stockbroker. And his wife, Judy, is still alive. And Bob and Judy were married for 47 years. And it says something about the character of a person when they stay married for that length of time. Mr. Chapman also had a son, Robert Michael Chapman, and a daughter, Jennifer Galletti, and he had a couple of sisters, Dorothy Trechner and Joan Lotz, and Bob also had four grandchildren. And committal services were this past Wednesday, June 6th, at 1 o'clock at Glen Abbey Memorial Gardens in Auburndale, Florida. The last time I checked online at the number of people that had signed Bob's guest book, there was over 1,500 people online that had signed that. I had personally known Bob for almost 2 years. I actually met Bob by just emailing him and asking him almost 2 years ago if he would do an interview on one of my shows, which he agreed to do. Over the past 2 years, Bob and I have done almost a dozen interviews on three different networks on Blog Talk Radio. On the Patriot Family website, I believe we have done three or four, maybe five. I'm not positive on that. The thing about Bob was it didn't matter if you were a nobody like I am, okay? I'm no Alex Jones. I don't have thousands and hundreds of thousands of listeners. It didn't matter to Bob. Bob would come and do a show with somebody like me that had 7 or 10 or 20 people in a chat room as easily as he would go and do a show with Alex Jones. And as I said earlier, he was married to Judy for 47 years, and it really, really says a lot about the personality of who Mr. Chapman was. Every time I spoke with him, he was just a warm, friendly person that had an engaging personality, and it will be a great loss with the knowledge that he had. He spoke 7 different languages. He lived in over 20 countries. this man was so knowledgeable about what is currently going on. And I know that up until 2 days before he passed away, he was still writing articles for the International Forecaster. And by the way, if anybody would like a free copy of the International Forecaster written by Mr. Bob Chapman, you can go to intforecaster.com. That's intforecaster.com. And just put your email address in there and they will send you a free copy. He did his newsletter twice a week, on Saturdays and Wednesdays, and they ranged between usually 35 and 40 or 42 pages. And I did subscribe over the past year. My subscription actually ran out in April, and I did not get a chance to renew that. But I did save every one of those on my computer here. So I have over 100 issues. If anybody would like a specific one for a specific day, or Bob was just a great guy. Like I said, it didn't matter if you were just a little guy with a little show, or if you were Alex Jones. He did shows on the Alex Jones show every Friday, usually for about 20 minutes. And the show that we are going to rebroadcast tonight is one where I invited Bob this past January 8th, 2012. And he actually spent... And I did not even ask him to spend that much time, but he actually spent a whole hour with us doing that. And he not only did shows for me, but I asked him to do some shows for some other members of the Patriot families as well, which he did. I know he did a Tuesday show with Hollis and Bill. I forget which month that was, but it was only about 3 months or so ago. He is surely going to be missed by myself. I think of him often with all the knowledge that he has regarding today's economic crisis, how he cared about people. I know Bob was a born-again Christian, and I know that he is being held in God's hands with God's love right now as I speak. So with that, I am going to start this rebroadcast, which is 1 hour long. And after that, we are going to have, I believe, hopefully, Ron and Linda are going to... get on the air here after the rebroadcast of the Bob Chapman special. And they're going to tell you some things that you may have never heard before. And I have to tell you, I selected this show that I am going to be doing tonight by Bob Chapman because, boy, it has a great, great deal to say. It has a great message. It is well worth listening to, and I'm sure that in another 6 months, maybe in December, I don't know, I will replay it again because it is a very, very powerful message. So please enjoy listening to Mr. Bob Chapman. You just got to love that stuff. It's really good stuff. And we have a very special guest coming up here in just a minute. Mr. Robert Chapman is the author of The International Forecaster. It is between a 30-page and 40-page weekly, biweekly newsletter that comes out on Wednesdays and Saturdays. And I do subscribe to it. And it is chock full of information. Robert Chapman is one of the most knowledgeable people when it comes to world affairs, what is going on in America and in many other parts of the world, as well as financial matters. He served in the military in the United States when he was younger. I know that. And I know he speaks 7 different languages, and I'll just say that he is in his 70s, but you would never know it by listening to him. He is a very, very intelligent person, and we are very pleased to have him with us this evening. So, Mr. Chapman, you are live. Are you there?
I am here, and I am live.
Well, it is an honor, sir, to have you with us this evening, and I hope everything is well with you and yours.
Well, thank you very much. It is, and we are looking forward to doing your program again, and there's all kinds of things that are going on in the world that are very interesting, if not alarming, and I think that the Chinese, I guess they curse you when they say, you live in interesting times. Interesting can mean a lot of things. And so I'm happy to be here to impart what little I can to helping people be able to recognize the problems out there, other than the ones that smack you right in the middle of the head, and where this whole thing's headed.
Well, that's what it's all about. I work full-time, 6 days a week, 4 or 5 hours a day, researching, and I do it because I want to find out where it is that America and the world is really headed, and I have a real good idea because of the control that the Illuminati have over America and globally as well. One of the things I want to talk to you about, Bob, tonight, and I'm sure that you do have some knowledge about this, is there's been some debate about the National Defense Authorization Act and if, you know, can they really take Americans and not give them an attorney and just lock them up in jail and do whatever they want to them. So I'd like to get your view on what you know about that.
That's what the law says, what you've just said. Yes, they can, and they will when they're ready. My guess is they'll start up by picking up foreigners, you know, those guys that run around with mustaches and speak other languages and look very furtive. They'll start picking them up first. And that'll be a testing ground. And nobody will care. It's like Niemöller said in Germany during the lead-up to the Second World War. First they came for the Jews, and then they came for the gypsies, and then they came for anybody that spoke out, and then they came for the Christians. Niemöller was a Protestant preacher in Germany. And so this is the tactic that they will use. They'll make you get used to seeing these dreaded foreigners who might be, probably are, terrorists being put away in some camp someplace, probably never to be heard from again. After the next election, that's when you're going to find
out. They will probably use that as a fear factor as well, to dumb down other Americans. Go ahead, Bob.
Well, that is part of psychological warfare. I think that's what they'll use. It doesn't matter what it is, they're going to do it. And then if Ron Paul is elected, it'll change everything. They won't be able to do that because he can use executive orders and neutralize it like he can with a lot of other things. And so if Ron Paul is elected, we've got 8 years to turn things around, and I think we can do that. And that's the whole key. And if Mr. Paul is not elected, I want to tell you something. You don't even want to hear what's going to happen to you. What you've seen as far as child's play.
We would like to hear, Bob, and give us your worst-case scenario. If by chance Mr. Obama is bought and paid for again for a second term like he was the first one, what is a worst-case scenario for Americans that live in the United States?
Well, after that interlude that I told you about of picking people up, then they'll go for people who are outspoken, and you'll be one of the first victims. And they'll just walk up to you when you park your car, and they'll say, we are picking you up on behalf of the President of the United States, and would you come with us? And there'll probably be 10 or 20 of these military people armed with everything you can think about and for warfare. And you will disappear, and they'll never hear about you again. And that will happen to many, 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 many people. And it will go on for a long time. At the same time, martial law will be declared because the president has had to pick up all these terrorists, like yourself. They can't pick me up because they don't know where I am. And that's because they threatened me before, which was actually stupid. And so I've been deep undercover for 10 years almost. And they ain't going to find me. But all the others who are speaking out, writing, commentators, they'll all be rounded up. They'll probably abridge the use of the Internet. You won't be able to publish things like I do, telling people the truth. And you won't be able to broadcast because they'll stop you from broadcasting. And then the next step, of course, is indoctrination of the public. Everybody will be brainwashed to think the New World Order, which is being formed by these bankers and Wall Street and transnational corporations, is the most wonderful thing that ever happened to the world. And that way they can enslave you indefinitely and your progeny for many, many generations to come. And, of course, there'll be violence. A lot of people won't go along with this. And there's a lot of people out there who are very heavily armed in the United States. And the government's going to have to try to kill them. And that's where your military comes in. And I think, generally speaking, the military will not follow orders. But there will be those who will. And they won't survive. I mean, they're not stupid. They have counted. They know how many people are out there. who know how to shoot, how many are veterans, how many are combat veterans, lots of them. And they're going to have to make a choice along with law enforcement. And you either help the people, don't pick them up, don't incarcerate them, don't shoot them, or you're going to lose your lives. There's no way you can win. And there's no way the government can win. What will it cost? I think under those circumstances, a normal kill ratio would probably be 50 to 1. They'll still lose. And that's where it's all headed. I emailed somebody the other day, and I said, what are you doing, so-and-so? He said, we're counting ammo and clips. We're loading everything up. We're getting ready. And this is it. I get 20, 25, 30 letters a day. How do I get out of the country? What do I do? Where do I go? There's a lot of letters. And so that's the kind of thing that you're facing. There will be people who don't want to go, and there'll be people who will mix it up with the government. As they roll in their APCs, and they just blow them to kingdom come with their Barretts. And that's the way it's going to be.
Yeah,
I have this conversation 20 times a day, every day.
Yeah, I mean, what else? You know, it's just the same thing over and over because we know that it is going to happen. You are absolutely correct. I mean, I've had people, because I bounce around on Blog Talk Radio, listening to other political type shows and stuff, and I've had people tell me that the National Defense Authorization Act, oh, they're not going to pick up Americans and this and that. And I just, you know, I have, you know, two words for them, you know. FEMA camps. Why do we have all of these camps, okay, with the barbed wire switched from facing out to keep people out? Now they've turned the barbed wire around, and it's on the inside so people can't get out. But why do we have all of those then if the NDAA means nothing? You know, and they just don't know how to answer that, you know. But you have, because I know that you understand.
Well, no, let me make it simple. You're not going to listen. Look, somebody's got to die. And it's okay if it's you. It's as simple as that. Somebody's going to lose all their money, all their wealth. And they will take it away from you if you don't know what to do. And that's okay. Because if you don't want to listen, you're not dumb. That's okay. You know, I learned over 50 years ago when I got involved in the Patriot Movement, we'll call it. I can't save everybody. During those intervening years, I've given out millions of pieces of information, done millions of radio programs, written millions of articles. And I probably save about 1%. But that's okay. That's 1% more than nothing. And that's part of the 15% that we need to win. And so it's all going to work out. It's just that those people who won't listen, the government comes to their house and they say, well, what are you doing here? You need a warrant. And they kick the guy in the face and shoot everybody in the family and ransack the house. That's what you can expect.
Okay,
you know,
now, Bob.
I saw a Navy SEAL today on a link I had. And the Navy SEAL knew Jesse Ventura. And they had an argument, and it was based upon the fact that Jesse said, look, we're not fighting an enemy. We're fighting people who were told to fight for profit, for government. And it's all about having wars for having wars. Well, they got an argument, and this guy punched Jesse, evidently. And I don't know how long ago this was. But this is the kind of negative propaganda you got to get used to, because you're going to see a lot more of that. You're going to see lies like you could never believe. And I've seen them in the investment community already. There's a whole coterie of people who are trying, with government assistance, some of them work directly for the government, to create chaos among the people so that they won't invest, they won't do this, they won't do that. They've got them scared to death. And it's the first time I've seen this within that community. And I was trained in that stuff, so I was in Army counterintelligence. And even though it's been over 50 years, I don't forget anything. I think the only way I'll ever forget something is if they have to close my eyelids. And so this is what they're up to. Spreading misinformation, misdirection, and then, of course, having these wars. Wars are a great distractor. Now, I was talking to my granddaughter today, and she said that she saw on Russian television today a Russian general say that you screw with Iran, you have to screw with us, in essence. And I think that's wonderful, because we shouldn't be doing anything to Iran. I'm sure that all the Zionist listeners won't be too happy about that, but that's just the way it is. That's the way I see it. I mean, things got to be fair in life, and I think the situation in the Middle East has been, is, or will be fair by us and NATO and so on. And so, evidently, Russians told them, you want action, you get it. And one of the interesting things, not about China, who will join in as well, about Russia, their equipment is every bit as good, if not better, than American equipment. They've spent 10 years revamping everything. They got thousands upon thousands of missiles. And if the United States and their NATO allies and Israel decide that they want to move on Iran, sure, they can defeat them. They can make the country into a parking lot. But Russia and China, just like America and Europe, can take out every major city in the United States. Just push one button.
Absolutely.
And sure, they'll suffer. They'll suffer just as much as America and Europe will. But, if that's what you want, that's what you're going to get.
Yeah, it's definitely come down to that, Bob. And I have a question for you from I have a bunch of people in our chat room that said hello to you that I forgot to say, first of all, and welcomed you. But I have a person who wants to know what is going on with all we'll use the word here, vilification, okay, of Ron Paul, and why the media is, tossing him around like an old used ball, Why is that?
Well, it's nothing that you shouldn't have expected. The media, since its modern inception in the late 1930s and then the advent in the late 1940s of television, and I'm one of the people who's still alive who lived through that. The major media has been totally controlled by the same group of people. All four major radio and television networks. And then there's us, pinching them and tweaking them thousands of times every week. And they'd love to get rid of us, but they can't, or at least not yet. And Ron Paul stands for honesty and integrity, a whole life of public service, not only as a congressman, but as a doctor, delivering over 4,000 babies, or whatever the figure was. This is a true American, a true, decent human being. They can't have that. I mean, they got to have some scumbag in there. I mean, who wants to take a payoff? And, 10 years from now, he's going to die and leave a fortune that he's collected of $100 or $200 or $300 million. And for people like that, that's important to them. That's not important to me. And that's why I do what I do. But they're going to continue to call Ron Paul all kinds of things that he's not. But that's okay. You expect it. The entire, with minor exception, Republican and Democrat complements in Washington, and the people who work for them and the bureaucrats, are totally paid off. They own these people. They do what they're told, or their largesse gets cut off, or they get suicided. That's the way our country works. You saw what they did to Jack Kennedy. And, you know, Ron Paul knows that they're going to try to do that. But he stood up there anyway. And so you're going to get it from a Republican Party that is like the Democrat Party, which is totally useless. And so they may force him to go on a third-party ticket. And believe me, if they do that, number one, he's liable to win. And number two, it'll be the destruction of both major political parties, particularly the Republicans. You know, this is a dead-end game. And these guys are cream puffs. You hear all this blather in their speaking and how much they know. They are scared to death. The people from the Council on Foreign Relations, the Trilateral Commission, the Bilderberger Group, the Illuminati, they are scared to death because we're so close to defeating them. And we are going to defeat them. Just keep a positive attitude and take care of business, the things that you need to do to survive physically, and then join a campaign like with Ron Paul and others who are like him, and make sure they get into Congress. Because if he doesn't get into Congress, you'll have martial arts almost immediately. And like I said earlier, people like us are going to get picked up if they can get their hands on us. And we'll never be heard from again. And that's just the way it is. And all you people out there who think that this doesn't mean anything, these people don't do anything for nothing. And they always usually have three or four destinations with each thing that they do. And you see them now stopping you on the road, asking you all kinds of questions that they really have no right to ask. And you don't see this happening in other countries, perhaps England, but that's about it. And the rest of them are not doing that. They're not questioning people. I mean, if they think someone's a criminal, they'll stop them. But it hasn't got to that level because I live in other countries. So I know what goes on out there. I could say almost exclusively, Americans don't know anything about anything out there.
How many different countries have you lived in, Bob?
Oh, let me see. 8, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, off the top of my head, 22.
So you know a great number of people from around the world, and you know their lifestyles, you know about their governments, and you have all of this good resources available to you for all the speaking and that. You do what, about 20 to 30 radio shows every single week?
Usually 30 to 40.
Wow.
I don't know anybody who will do them on Saturdays and Sundays. And I turn a lot down from Europe because I'm not going to get on a radio at 10 o'clock at night. I'm asleep at 8:30 or 9 because I'm up at 4.
Exactly.
You know, there's,
right.
there's some problem. Some programs I just can't do. And there's some
right.
programs I will do simply because they're so important. BBC, Deutsche Welle, French International, programs out of Athens, Greece. And I like doing programs in places like Dublin. It really gets the British upside down. And but anyway, I talk to a lot of people, and I'm happy about that, that I can still do that. And I'm happy I had the background and experiences that I did to be able to help people. I'm usually right. And I don't lie. And I don't exaggerate, nor do I sensationalize things. They are what they are. I don't, you know, it's just like when I was a kid, they had these books and magazines. And they were about truth. And truth is 10 times more exciting and than fiction. And so that's what life's all about. I get a laugh at people who lie. They have to say 20 lies more because of the first lie. I think it's funny. And they never can extricate themselves. You know, I get them tapped out pretty early, so I say to them, you don't have to tell anymore. I know what you're up to.
I like a comment on one of our Patriot family members made. We have over 300 members, by the way, Bob, in our Patriot family, which is a Christian conservative group. And she said, the truth shall set you free, but first it will make you miserable.
Well, you get used to it. It's like the armadillo, you know, he gets attacked and they can't go through his armor. And he sees all sorts of nasty things all day long. But that's okay. He survives. And that's what we're all about. We have the intelligence and knowledge to present things to people in a very simple manner. And this is the way it's going to be. And or it's going to be close to something like that. And if you want to participate, that's terrific. If you don't, it's okay. We're going to get enough people.
That's it. I think we are. Now, we looked at the you know, the worst case scenario of what could happen here. Now, if Ron Paul, let's say he did become our president, he has a certain amount of power, okay, holding that position. But considering everything, including the Federal Reserve, the media, the banking industry, I mean, can America, you know, vote its way out of this mess, Bob?
Yeah, they
what
can.
What do you think?
They can.
Really?
And, you know, we don't, look, you got to look at it this way. We don't have any choice. And we either try to do it the legal way or we're going to have a revolution. So I don't see anything complicated about that. So I think it's terrific that the opportunity lies there for Ron Paul and people like him to get elected. And let's say we're fortunate enough to elect him. We can buy 8 years and change many, many things. Will they try to kill the president? Of course they will. He knows that. I'm quite well aware of it.
I think he is that, you know, although I am a political atheist, I do love Ron Paul and what he stands for. I've researched his background, his voting history, and that there's no one else that has a background like he does that, you know, is so focused on what America is really about. And he would be an incredible asset to have, you know, in there for president, especially for 8 years, because when people see after 4 years what this man could get done, that is, if other certain parties do not stop him, then he's a shoo-in for the following 4 years after that, wouldn't you think?
Yes. And it allows us to use the system to make changes. And goodness knows there's lots of things that have to be changed. And, you know, that's okay. We'll do the job, we being Americans. And we will continue to do that job as long as we can. Just because people stood by for the last 60 years and did nothing doesn't mean that we're going to do that. And we don't need many people to change things. And I think we can do that. And as this campaign for the presidency goes on, more and more people are going to become aware of who Ron Paul is and what he stands for. And even if he were to lose, can you imagine the tremendous impact he's going to have on the intelligence and knowledge of the people in America as well as the world? You got another election coming up, too, in France, preliminary for the presidency is in April, and May is the final. And there is an outside possibility that the National, which is Marine Le Pen, could win the presidency. And if she did, the Illuminati would just go freak city. She's a conservative, and she's already said, were I to be elected the president of France, the first thing I would do is get rid of the euro and the European Union. And explains why. She's brilliant. I have to tell you that I know the family very well. They're friends of mine. And I've known Maureen since she was 19 years old. And I think she can do it. The French are disgusted. Sarkozy has very low ratings. The left socialists are going to run a communist. I mean, you talk about dumber than dumb. And he'll lose out in the first round, and the final will be between Miss Le Pen and Sarkozy. And I think the election rests upon whether the communist socialist cross over and vote for her rather than for him. And I think that possibility exists. About 3% came over when her father ran for the presidency. And I think she can do much better because she's much more moderate than he was. And I think it's something that most people know absolutely nothing about. But the polarization that could take place in Europe and the United States with the with the election of these two people would be electric. And so there's things going on out there you don't know about. And that's because your media doesn't report that. And they probably even don't even know who she is. And there might be other changes, too, in Holland and Finland. And maybe in Germany, 65% of the people do not want more money spent on bailing out the six nations that made a mess out of their countries. And I think the Germans are going to make some big changes, because the German government legally just gave the European Central Bank about $600 billion to bail out those six countries again. And the public in Germany knows that. They're going to be very unhappy about that. I think the CDU may be which is a Christian Democratic Union, which runs Germany, I think they may be defeated again, and probably rightly so. They're trying to do two things here. Number one, stay in power, and number two, make their masters and the Illuminati happy. And I don't think you can do both. I wrote somewhat about it in Wednesday's issue and last Saturday, and I wrote a little bit more in this issue this weekend. But Americans don't understand what's going on in their own country, never mind in Europe. And that sort of thing will continue. And so...
Do you think that that $600 billion that you mentioned, do you think that that is going to help the, you know, European Union to stay together? Or how do you think that affects it as far as collapsing?
About 6 months. They need $4 to $6 trillion to bail them out. So $600 billion is not going to do it. Now, they need more money in the EFSF, which is a organization in the ESM. But what they've done in the meantime, as usual, under the cover of darkness, the United States government is now controlling things totally in Europe with their buddies, the British. And the Federal Reserve made a swap agreement. Now, a swap agreement is a loan, but it's illegal for the Federal Reserve and the European Central Bank to make or receive these kind of loans. But they did it anyway, and they called it a swap. How much? Only $1 trillion. What will the banks do with that? Well, I got the numbers here, but I'm not going to look them up. They've taken about 85% of the money and put it back in the European Central Bank. The main reason is they don't want to lend it to each other because they don't trust the other banks. We're back where we were with the credit crisis over 3 years ago. Now we have a debt crisis, same problem. Now, what do banks do with money? You deposit $1 million in the bank, or the bank has $1 million in assets, and they loan under the prudent man rule, they loan 9 times that. So if the banks in Europe decide they're going to lend 9 times the money they receive, which would be $1 trillion, they'll put $9 trillion into the European economy, and a lot of that will slosh over into the British and U.S. economies. And that's where they're headed with this thing. And, of course, the flip side is giant inflation. And so Germany's participation in bailing out these countries is short-term. The idea is get the banks loaded up with money, and then the banks take their money, which they borrowed, and they lend it to those nations. So it's sort of a merry-go-round. And, of course, it's really a Ponzi scheme, too. And that's where they're headed with this thing. So Europe doesn't have to worry about money. They get so much available that it's really unbelievable. And so they're going to be able to play this game that they're playing for another 3 to 5 years, unless, of course, they decide to have a war with Iran and Russia and China get involved. And as they say in French, ça change tout le monde, which means that changes everything. You know, are they that crazy? Yes, they are. So who knows where this thing is going? We all know the possibilities. Nobody's got the answers. The Illuminists behind the scenes don't even know what they're going to do yet. They got a pretty good idea, but they're not ready to push that button and put our people, our young men and women, into harm's way. And
well,
if there is a war, it'll be very, very, very bloody and very destructive.
Absolutely. And I don't think the Illuminati really want to see the collapse of the European Union. I mean, I think they built that thing as, a start of what maybe a North American Union might end up to be, and it was like a testing grounds for them. Is that possible?
It's not possible. It's exactly what they did, but whether they're going to be successful in holding it together or whether they want to hold it together, we don't know yet. These are the things I write about. You know, I set a stage and say, it could go this way or that way. You know, we got people jumping around and sensationalizing and telling us how they're connected in the Illuminati, blah, blah, blah. Let me tell you something. That's impossible. Go ahead.
Do you think that if, because Obama is, threatening, sanctions against Iran and stuff. Do you think if that war breaks out over there, that will create the collapse of the European Union, or do you think it'll take more than that?
Well, if NATO becomes involved, I would assume that all strategic targets in Europe would be hit by the Russians and the Chinese. And, Brussels is a key point for politics and that sort of thing. And I would guess that perhaps people might wake up one morning and find out that Brussels no longer exists. People cannot contemplate the damage that can be done in a nuclear war. And once one of them, the U.S. or Russia, whoever it is, lobs one of those things, it's game over. Half the people in the world are going to die. Of course, the Illuminists love that.
Absolutely.
But are they going to survive? I don't think so. Are they going to be able to get to those bunkers? I don't think so. And even if they get into the bunkers, when they got to come out, are they going to survive? And you have a lot of people who have gone through a nuclear war, and once they see those doors open to those underground shelters, they got a zap mall. So this is a lose-lose situation. Nobody's going to be a winner here.
Well,
but you can prepare, and you can try to avoid it, and we've talked about that tonight.
Absolutely, and that's the idea here, is to understand what is going to happen currently and in the future, and to prepare in the best manner that you can for what might happen, because, nobody knows exactly what hour or what day somebody's going to get stupid with a button. All I can say is, Lord help us, Bob,
Well, humanity does to itself what it does. I mean, maybe Satan helps them along the way, but other than that, they're responsible. And are we going to get any help from God? I don't know. I don't think anybody else does either. And what you should do is be prepared not to get help, and if you do get it, that's terrific. But you got to act on your own. And you got to try to convince others who are close to you about protecting oneself and understanding. and 99% of them aren't going to listen. You're going to probably have to feed them anyway. I mean, you are your kin or your friends. And so I think that's the way it'll evolve. I talked to someone recently. I said, well, are any of your neighbors thinking like you? I said, the fellow said, well, I never talked to them about that. We get two close neighbors here that spent they were in Vietnam twice each. So they obviously know what to do, and they have mentioned that they know what's going on. So that comes back to the people who are designated by the president to go out and pick people up. I don't think you better do that. You might think that busting somebody's head, you know, before you take them to Gitmo to torture them, and all of that's in there. Those kind of people will be eliminated. Eliminated. I see law enforcement agencies not accepting candidates with over 100 IQ on a Stanford-Binet basis. The average IQ in the United States is 116 to 120. And there's a call for people under or at 100. Now, how I know this is there was someone who scored 180 on the test. I forget what city it was, and then I had in the international forecaster. And he's suing for discrimination because they wouldn't let him be a policeman. No, he wanted to become a police chief because he was smart. I had a nephew like that. 30 years, assistant chief of police. Retires a couple of years ago, $120,000 a year. And he got another job making $120,000, so now I guess he's going to die rich. But anyway, the point is this, you need bright people in law enforcement and for a entity, whatever it was, I can't remember, town, city, county, to do that is just dumber than dumb.
Well, we need people with common sense, Bob, with morals, with values, and, as you know, a one world order, a new world order, whatever you like to call it, has been attempted since man has been on this earth, since Babylon, many, many times. And it has never succeeded. But that does not mean that during these times that are currently upon us, that great damage cannot befall the earth and the people on it, because it's not like it was 50, 60 years ago. Now you can press a button and you can destroy, probably a quarter of the people on this planet.
That's right. I think people ought to be thinking hard about that when they go to vote in November, because Ron Paul will either be the Republican candidate or he will be an independent candidate. And in either situation, he could be a winner. And if he's not a winner, I can assure you that there's going to be real problems.
I agree 100%, Bob. I mean, I am as ready as someone can get. And, I live up, I'm 13 miles from Lake Superior. I'm up in the Upper Peninsula of Michigan. And across from there is Canada. Now, I do not own a boat, but I know this area up here, and it's full of woods. So unless we have, a direct hit in this area, with a nuclear weapon, which might be something that another country would think of because of the fresh water supply.
Could be. There's a lot of ways of looking at that.
Exactly. The other way, I guess, is that maybe if they destroy people in other parts of the world, then they can just come and take this fresh supply for themselves.
You can't put anything past them. And they have absolutely no, what would you call it, no passion
morals and
for living. They're crazy.
Yeah, they're lunatics.
You know, that's by any standard a stretch of the imagination.
Absolutely, and you know, it's this new world order. Like I said, it cannot. You know, they're not going to win. They're not going to win whether Ron Paul is elected or not. It's going to be a lot worse if Mr. Paul is not elected. But even if he is, okay, the Illuminati cannot win. They have not won for thousands and thousands of attempts that they have tried since the creation of mankind. And they're not going to win this time, but that's not to say that they cannot create a huge amount of damage. And out of 7 billion people that we have on the Earth, Bob, you know, they would like to see, I think, somewhere around, I think the Georgia Guidestones say, they want 500,000 left on the planet, so they're talking about, you know, mass murder here, you know?
That's right. And we know it, and they're not going to get away with it.
Well, that's it. It's because of people like you, Bob, and other people that do radio shows, and you do some really great radio shows, by the way. We got about 10 minutes left here, so I want to thank you so much for joining us this evening, Bob. I hope that you'll come back again sometime.
Anytime you want.
And how many years did you spend in the military? Was it 6 years that you spent in the military?
No, I only spent 3 years.
Spent 3 years in the military when you were younger. Okay.
Although
you
they tried to recruit me for private agencies, but I wasn't interested.
And you did work on Wall Street when you were younger as well, right?
Well, I spent almost 30 years on Wall Street, and I own my own firm some of those years. And so I knew what was going on in a big way. And I just happened to think of a comparison. They have horses that race. And most horses run very well on a good and a fast track. I'm a mutter. I run good on a bad track. And there's not many people or horses in this world that can do that. And I guess it was something I was born with. But my life is sure taking a lot of twists and turns, and I was discussing it with my wife. We've moved, I think, 48 times. And we've been married, I think, 47 years. And I said, you know, sometimes it was a pain, but, you know, look at the exciting time we had. All the people we met and all the places we went to and our understanding of mankind. And we were very, very fortunate to have done what we did.
You are an incredible person, Bob, and I listen to many of your radio shows throughout the week, and I've put into our chat room your link for anybody that would like a free copy of Bob's International Forecaster, the internationalforecaster.com. Is that correct, Bob?
It certainly is. And the email address is Bob, B-O-B, at INTFORECASTER.com. Bob at intforecaster.com. So you can access that for the same things. I think one of the things that is different that you can pick up there is a report on gold and silver shares. So everything's free. We give advice for free. We help people. And we're happy to say that we've been successful, and I hope it stays that way.
Well, I know this much. I have everybody in our chat room here thanking you for coming, and we surely do, and we will keep you, Bob, you and your family in our prayers 100%, that you go for many years with what you are doing. I enjoy your International Forecaster twice a week and all the links that are in there, and we enjoy having you on our program, and we got a few minutes if you want to finish up and say anything at all, Bob. You're welcome to.
Well, I think people are not understanding what Europe is all about financially and economically. They're going first. England's already on their way. And what's important here is that the money that is recklessly being given to banks in Europe is going to slosh over into the British and the American economies. And in doing that, it's going to give us a longer lease on life without having financial and economic collapse that we might have had otherwise.
It's also going to create probably devaluation of the dollar or inflation, one of those?
Yeah, that'll happen later. Two people are too busy to pull, too anxious to pull the trigger on that. I learned my lesson. And, yeah, it's going to happen. I don't know when. Could be 6 years from now. It could be a year from now. Maybe we'll get surprised and it'll be 3 months from now. Nobody knows except the insiders, and most of them don't know either. And so you stay out of currencies. Be in gold and silver, coins, bullion, and shares. Have dehydrated and freeze-dried foods in your home and a water filter. And be able to defend your family, you know, with everything possible, or with something possible that you can do that. And hopefully you've been trained. And if you haven't, get trained. There's a lot of people out there who are coming back from the Middle East who are experts at showing you the most effective way of saving your life and that of your family. So you got to think about all these things. Obviously, a lot of people are. November, they had record gun sales. Now, this goes back to 1966. Well, in December, they had even bigger gun sales. So what does that tell you? There's a lot of people out there who are concerned about what's going on, and they're seeing the same things that we're talking about. Get ready.
That's it, absolutely, for sure. And that's all we can do is pray that people are preparing for what is about to befall all of us. Bob, thank you again so much for joining us, and I'll be in touch with you, and take care, and God bless, sir. Thank you again.
Thank you, and thank you all for listening. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye, Bob. Okay. That was Mr. Robert Chapman, and he spent almost 4 minutes shy of an hour with us. I only expected a half hour. And Bob is so incredibly knowledgeable in what he talks about. And although he didn't say it many times, You know, if he does not know something, he'll say, I don't know it. He's not going to tell a story, but he wants to help people. You can call, you can email Bob and ask him a question, and he answers everybody. You don't have to buy anything from him. You can email him a question. He will answer it. He answers everybody. I want to thank everybody for joining me this evening on Exposing the Illusion on the Patriot Family Radio Network. And don't... Okay, you have been listening to a rebroadcast of Bob Chapman on the Patriot Family Radio Network from this past January 8th, 2012. An interview with myself. Bob Chapman passed away this past Monday. An incredible, knowledgeable person, a great personal friend, and a great patriot to everyone. Very, very knowledgeable about what is going on out there. And our phone lines are open, by the way, and I am going to let a couple of people here. I see one of them in our chat room now. But I am going to let a couple of people kind of take over my show here and do whatever it is that they would like to do. But I did want to spend this evening and spend that hour in remembrance of Bob Chapman. Because I just think so highly of him. And our prayers and our blessings go out to Bob's wife and his family and his close friends. And he will be in our prayers and in our thoughts for a long, long time. And although he's not a registered member of Patriot Families, the way he has treated us and appeared on our programs, you know, I consider him a member with honorable mention. And on that note, we are going to open up the phone lines, and I believe we have... I know we have Ron. I got to look at my telephone list here. Let's see. Just give me one second. Yes, we have Ron and we have Linda. Welcome to our show, and thank you for joining me, Ron and Linda.
Hi.
Thanks, Michael.
Thanks.
And, you know, thanks for taking the time to do a memorial show tribute to Bob Chapman. You know,
that was great.
You know, it's sad for us, those of us that are left behind, so to speak. But we should be thankful for Bob. I know he was in some pain and fighting a lot of stuff with the pancreatic cancer. And definitely my condolences go out to his family and loved ones, all of his friends.
Amen.
And
yeah.
People that, you know, admired him. And... he gets to be where we're all hoping to be soon.
Don't worry. If the Illuminati gets their way and the UN troops come, I'll be joining soon. Oh, God. These guys, they don't stop. You know, it's been a crazy 2 weeks for me. I've been running ragged trying to fight these clowns. I did the meeting on Wednesday. I remember you caught the last 7 minutes of my show. Those who tuned in late, if you could check it in archives, that's great. But the meeting, I could have done my show regular time, took a nap, had dinner, and got, I mean, this thing was 5.5 hours long. It was insane. But I did get to speak. My mother has it all on tape because they broadcast the entire thing on KOCT here locally for Oceanside. And, oh, my gosh. And it was amazing. Many, many people from our action committee spoke. People from my Patriots, Americans Protecting Property Rights spoke. And the guy that's with ICLEI, he was mortified when I was speaking. Well, wait till the 19th because it's going to be even worse for him. I got news. Oh, man. It's amazing what I have to go through.
Well, you know, I mean, and just... And I don't want to, like, busting and take everything over, and we've been carrying on a conversation kind of in the background in the chat. But, you know, isn't it crazy, all the reports and everything that's been going on? And it seems like it's really building to a crescendo here.
Yep.
Recently. And one of the thoughts I had and sitting back and you know, seeing all the different theories and conspiracies and ideologies about the occult and the Illuminati and they, whoever they are. And it seems to me, and maybe I'm just off in the wilderness somewhere, but it seems to me that if we truly had a conspiracy to run the world that was being led by Satan himself, that it would not have taken this long.
Right.
You know, I think it would have been perfected a long time ago. And
yeah.
And to me, that just lends credence to the preterist, you know, doctrine or viewpoint or whatever you want to call it. And I think that it is the minds of men concocting all these plans. And the reason they fail, and they always fail, and they've failed throughout time and history, and there's plenty of history of the failures,
uh-huh.
is simply because of that. Because it is just a bunch of men and their twisted ideology, their twisted agendas. There is no supernatural force that's helping them, you know, move these things along.
Well, in a way, I believe you're right, and I think that God's going to have the last word always, because that's just the way it is. He's the ultimate. He's the King of Kings, and he's not going to be mocked, and he's not going to be ignored. And, you know, like you say, we win because we're fighting in victory, because the battle's been won. We're just right here
exactly.
on Earth. We're going through skirmishes, Ron, I think, in battling the evil. And I reiterated to my mom today, because she's trying to grasp all this stuff, bless her heart. She's almost 90 years old, but she's still quick-witted and everything. But she says, I was talking about A21, and she says, when did all this start? I said, well, officially it started in 1992. And she says, oh, I'm confused. And she says, what about the island off of Georgia? I said, oh, that's the creature from Jekyll Island. That was 1910. She says, you mean you're fighting more than one tyrant? And I says, oh, yes. I said, at least George Washington only had to fight one tyrant. Oh, my God. That's why it's going to take us, you know, 100 times more time to fix it, because they've had 100-plus years on us, you know, and they've had 20 years or better in this Agenda 21 head start on us. Good Lord, you know, it's amazing what we go through. But I'm not going down without a fight. And I'll tell you, as long as they allow me to speak and don't haul me off to a FEMA camp or try, I'm going to tell the truth, and I'm going to get it out to as many people as possible. I don't care how long it takes. I'm just going to keep doing it. I'm going to educate everybody. And I'm starting with the city planners and the Akeley clown and the mayor and everybody else.
Well, it seems to me bizarre. If we look at the last month or two, you know, and all these reports of cannibalism, these people getting freaked
right.
out on bath salts or whatever and chewing people, you know, chewing their faces off. You
oh
got this
God.
Deal up in Indiana, you know, maybe some radiation leak, maybe not, who knows. And,
right.
you know, the deal, you know, with the Ron Paul thing. Everybody
right.
flipped out over that. You know, half of the people are calling Rand Paul a traitor and just going off the deep end. And I'm sitting there going, really? I mean, what the hell is going on? You know?
I know.
It's like the wheels are coming off the wagons all over the place. And I think the people in the Ron Paul Revolution, the Campaign for Liberty movement, you know, for myself, and I was angry the first day, and then the more I thought about it, you know, I thought, you know, I'm not going to have wasted my time and effort in all
mm-hmm.
of this. And if you look at the impact that the Ron Paul campaign has had, at the local level, at the local level of the GOP party across the country, you have got numerous people in leadership positions now in a position to change the face of the GOP for the better.
Right.
And so I think that's a positive thing. And you know, I think maybe Rand Paul is just playing the game on their terms.
Because he, I saw him, I can't remember which, whether it was Hank or Greta, but the other day, and I was freaking out because he, you know, they said, well, you know, who's your first choice? And he says, my first, last, and always choice is my dad. He says, you know, and he, nobody was actually saying that Ron Paul dropped out. But he's then he went on to endorse Romney. So, you know, I was a little confused. But what I have seen recently, that the wheels are falling off the Obama camp. Like, the guys are jumping ship. They're changing parties. All the Dems are, you know, they're going off the ship, the sinking ship, like little rats. It's unbelievable. The last time I saw Daryl Issa speak, I didn't get to see the whole thing, but it was much more in-depth on Greta's show. He was so mad at Holder, he interrupted him several times and almost called him a liar to his face. I mean, he was ready to – blood was shooting out of Issa's eyes. And he by July, Issa told Greta that he's going to have him, you know, in front of Congress on contempt charges, which would be like contempt of court, you know, for all the things that he's tried to pull. And there were several others. I know Jason Chaffetz and a few others. They said, I have it in black and white. You're going to sit here and tell me that this is incorrect and you're just, you know, lie to my face. I mean, unbelievable. There's, you know, Obama's tanking and he knows it.
Well, my hope is that some of these guys, and I really kind of like Chaffetz. I'm not sure, you know, exactly how to take him, but just, my own perception of him is, you know, I like the guy.
Yeah, and I think he's one of the good ones, but, you know, on the surface, hopefully he's for real. I know that the guy in Texas is trying to get from the Tea Party, Ted Cruz, is a good guy. You know, it's just going to play out, and I know that I think that, in fact, I did send two times on Numbers USA to Marco Rubio and told him, boy, it didn't take long to corrupt you, did it? Oh, I was pissed. Because he's all for this amnesty nonsense.
See, and that's the thing. I mean, that one of the things that we have to, and we've talked about this before, one of the things that we have to be careful of is extolling the man instead of the idea, the
right.
policy. And, you know, the idea of this country, as you're well aware, has been utterly destroyed.
I know.
And it was utterly destroyed a long time ago.
And I know you've been researching it.
Oh, man, I'm telling you. I said before that I thought Lincoln was the worst president this country's ever had.
Probably right.
That's a very unpopular thing to say, especially in our politically correct era, because the first thing that comes to mind is people think that you're a racist. And... nothing could be further from the truth. What, you know, what the problem is that Lincoln laid the groundwork for every bastard that has come along since him, and he absolutely demolished our Constitution. He did not, there was not a single vestige of the Constitution that he left untouched. Not a one.
Yeah. Wow.
Not a single one.
Yeah. That's it. I'm throwing away all of my pennies right now.
Well, they ain't worth anything anyway, so except the copper that's in them, maybe. Melt them down.
Well, you know, as I read through this book and I'm trying to find the one of his executive orders in here, I'm scrolling back through the pages. But, you know, this is history that is not taught in our schools, okay? And if you watch the Ken Burns series, you'll catch a little glimpse of it here and there on the Civil War. But for the most part, it really doesn't sink in.
Right.
What laws did he, Oz is acting, what laws exactly did he enact that's effed up the Constitution? Well, Oz, it depends on what you mean by enacting laws. He sent federal troops up to New York to demolish two newspapers and arrest the editors and the owners of those newspapers because they published things in their newspaper that he didn't like. See, Lincoln had an agenda long before he became president, long before he was inaugurated.
Wow.
And his agenda was one of mercantilism, okay? And it was known under another senator named Henry Clay as the America system or the American system. Basically, from the Whig Party, what they wanted to do is they followed the idea of Alexander Hamilton.
Mm-hmm.
They wanted a national government that could tax the ever-living daylights out of the states and then use that money to fund make-work projects or internal improvements, as they call them, within the states to line the pockets of their contributors, their supporters, big business. They wanted to subsidize railroads and road building and all these other projects. And as a matter of fact, many of the states had put it in their state constitution, making it illegal and unconstitutional to have these kind of internal improvement projects run by the state because they were such a disaster.
Yep.
And it didn't matter how disastrous they were. It seems like the more disastrous the program, the better they liked them. You know,
Sounds like our educational system.
Yeah, one of the things we've long been told, of course, is that the Civil War was fought over ending slavery, which was just ridiculous. It absolutely was not. The problem was one of money. And one of the things that these Democratic Republicans supported were these high tariffs. They wanted to place high tariffs on trade goods to make them very expensive. Well, the southern states were pissed because what they had was they had exports, right? So what they were doing was driving up the price of everything they needed to purchase.
Wow.
And it was basically the way the southern states saw it, slavery aside, was that the northern states, that the federal government was taxing the crap out of the southern states, and that money was going to build the northern states and all their infrastructure. And, you know, that goes back to 1828.
Right, Ron.
Yes, sir.
Refresh my memory, but I do believe that Albert Pike had a great deal to do. He was British, by the way. Had a great deal to do with the Civil War, as far as, you know, initiating it and this and that. And that war, the Civil War, was actually funded on both sides. It was given money on both sides, you know, from the British. Is that correct, or am I a little off base here?
I think we're a little off base on that, at least from the history that I've read. You know, part of the conquest started back in the War of 1812. That really got some things shook up. And again, this was over the central bank, a national bank, which Lincoln was very much in favor of. Now, many of us in the Patriot movement have been, I think, erroneously misled that Lincoln wanted to cut ties with the bank. That's not at all true. Lincoln wanted a national bank so that the government had control of the issuance of money. And, oh, let's see. I'm almost to the page where, you know, the guy that wrote this book actually refers to Lincoln as America's Stalin.
Yeah. That's bizarre.
Now, how many of you know that in 1861, the state of Maryland was under total military occupation?
Oh, my God.
Said Lincoln was taking no chances that the Maryland legislature would convene to discuss secession or even to vote to remain neutral in the conflict, and sought to prohibit it by doing so by military force. Because General Benjamin Butler was threatening to bombard Annapolis if the legislature met there, the legislators decided to meet in Frederick, Maryland. Lincoln gave Nathan P. Banks, a Massachusetts native, the assignment of allowing Unionist members of the legislature to travel to Frederick, but not members of the Peace Party. Simon Cameron, Lincoln's Secretary of War, instructed Banks, if necessary, all or any part of the members of the Maryland legislature must be arrested. Says all of the members of the legislature from the Baltimore area were arrested without due process, as was the mayor of Baltimore and U.S. Congressman Henry May. All other state legislators who were even suspected of having secessionist sympathies were arrested, as were several newspaper editors and owners from Baltimore. Overall, 21 men, legislators, a member of Congress, the mayor, and newspaper editors and publishers were arrested and imprisoned at Fort Lafayette and elsewhere. And in a twist of irony, one of the men that ended up being arrested during Lincoln's tyrannical reign was none other than the son of the gentleman, Francis Scott Key.
Wow.
And the irony is that he was imprisoned in Fort McHenry.
Oh, my God. Wow. Sounds like the first NDAA.
Worse, let me tell you.
Oh, my God.
He shut down the legislature in Maryland and Rhode Island. He sent secret police, federal police, to Ohio, and they broke into the house of a congressman, rousted him out of bed, and deported him. They put him in prison. They put him in a federal military prison first and then deported him to Canada.
Good Lord.
He gave a speech on the House floor that was very damning to Lincoln's agenda. And the fact is there were a lot of people that believed that the Civil War, any kind of bloodshed could have been avoided quite simply. And Lincoln was having none of it.
Wow. What a schmuck. Oh,
and
my God.
The fact that, you know, he encouraged a campaign with Sherman of attacking civilians.
Wow.
And so, everyone's heard of the Emancipation Proclamation, right?
Mm-hmm.
What did that do? Does anyone really know?
You're going to tell us.
Well, of course, we were all told that that's, you know, Lincoln emancipated the slaves.
Right.
Well, there has never been a bigger bunch of horse crap sold to the American public than that statement.
Oh, my gosh.
His Emancipation Proclamation, which wasn't passed by Congress, by the way. Oh, and by the way, neither was sending troops into the southern states. That was never voted on by Congress. And it was never, Congress never declared war. What happened was Lincoln claimed it to be a rebellion, and he, through executive order, ordered the military to go in and fight with the southern states. But nonetheless, the Emancipation Proclamation had stipulations built into it. And what those stipulations were was that the only place that the slaves were being emancipated were in those areas that weren't under the control of the Union Army. So in other words, if you were in a northern state and it was a slave state, those slaves were not emancipated. If you were in an area, say in Georgia, where the federal troops had control of the area, and there were many of them, those slaves, those weren't emancipated either. The only slaves that he was wanting to emancipate were those that were still on the plantations. He knew good and well that the women were the only ones left running the plantations. And his hope was that the word of mouth would travel of this emancipation and create a slave revolt and uprising, knowing that the women would pose no real resistance to them at all.
Wow.
And in fact, they routinely executed and hung blacks who refused to, you know, give up information about where, you know, the master stored his jewels and valuables and things like that. It certainly tells the story in a much different light than what we've been told in our history classes.
Unbelievable. Wow. And
I can only read about a chapter or two. I get so furious I got to put it down.
can you put a link in the Patriot Families room for us to try to get that?
Absolutely.
Okay, thank you. Yeah. Well, you know, I mean, we know that the true history of everything has been erased. It has been revised. It has been twisted and, you know, spinned and all that stuff. So all I know is that I'm going to stay focused on what I'm called to do. And that's why I do what I do in my local community, because if I don't, you know, sound the alarm, who's going to do it? You know, I can't not do it. It's like the Paulina from Poland and her family's one bowl of soup to save a Jewish person or 500 Jewish people during the age of catastrophe. You know, we've got to do something, you know, even if it's only one person. And I'm not looking for any accolades. I give the glory to God because he pretty much guides me in what I need to do. I've asked him, I've begged him for guidance and say, Lord, if you don't want me to do this, you let me know. You know, and so far he's given me a green light, and I've actually influenced people. I had one gal that, like, on the lib side, and she emailed me, and she'd never heard of ICLEI, and she says, Lynn, she says, can you give me the link to the group you were talking about? Oh, boy, did I. I gave her more information, she'll know what to do with. But this was the icing on the cake for my speech, you know. So one person can make a difference, so we've got to try.
And I stand corrected. It wasn't Francis Scott Key's son. It was his grandson,
okay.
a man named Francis Key Howard of Baltimore. And
wow.
He worked in a newspaper. He was held in a military prison without charges and without a trial for over 2 years. He wrote a book, and I'm going to look and see if I can find it. It's called The American Bastille.
Wow. Oh, my gosh.
See, and we don't hear about all these things.
No.
And you know, in here he's talking about some of the writers and historians who wrote that about Lincoln, and they did not discount the idea that Lincoln was a dictator. They said in 1900, James Ford Rhodes, who was quite worshipful of Lincoln, wrote that never had the power of a dictator fallen into safer and nobler hands.
Oh, my God. Wow. That's amazing that you've stumbled on this history. Wow.
And, you know, you remember some of the stuff that I sent you from the from Mike Church and the Constitutional Convention.
Right.
He's putting together another documentary about Lincoln, and that's kind of what inspired me. I went on his website,
cool.
And, you know, there's a link to all these books that I didn't know existed. I guess I just never looked, you know. In my travels, I had read and run across some things about Lincoln, and it seemed to fly in the face of everything that I was told.
Sure.
And it's interesting to me that, you know, we're now seeing this revival coming about of our Constitution.
Mm-hmm.
You think about it, not since 2008, anything prior to 08, I mean, when did you hear about the Constitution? Once, twice a year, maybe?
Yeah, I know. Well, it's on everybody's minds now because we're losing it, whatever's left.
It is, and it should be. And, you know, we need to recognize that what was the idea of America was lost. And it began very early on. I've said that before, but I think it was utterly destroyed by Lincoln. Lincoln and his party, I mean, they made it so that there's no way that anyone could even get elected to Congress or office of any kind, public office, if they had any kind of sentiment that was anti-Lincoln or anti-war. And, you know, I told you, I've described before that, you know, we had the first voter registration was in the South when the South was under military law. And they wanted to make sure that property owners didn't get elected.
Oh, my goodness.
And so, you know, and that's why I said the other night, look up the Freedmen's Bureau. Okay. You're right in the midst right now of the, in your history of the Reconstruction era.
Right.
And I've heard it stated by more than one individual that, you know, the new Constitution basically starts with the 14th Amendment.
Oh, my gosh. Okay, I'll check all that out. My God. Oh, there's so much we need to learn. Try to fight. Yeah, but we're not, you know, we're not doing this in vain. I think we're going to win a few things, and we just, you know, I put on a blog today. I says we've got to put, you know, together our own steamroller and turn it up to warp 20, and just let them know we're not going to take it anymore. You know, we're going to push back. And this is the best time to turn up the heat after Scott Walker won in Wisconsin. Man, we got to just go forward. And the last meeting I went to, I have a little bit of time, and I'm going to regroup, and I'm putting together one of those Glenn Beck chalkboards, and I'm taking it in there with everything I've got on poster boards and maps and everything, and putting a timeline together to explain to these people, this is what I know. This is where it started. This is where we are today. And the end game ain't pretty, and I'm not going to put up with it. That's what I'm going to tell them.
We got about 5 minutes there, people.
I wanted to make a comment. And thank God, Linda. God bless you for all you're doing up there.
Thank you.
We remember back to Arizona, right, and their immigration law.
Yep.
And that whole fiasco that came about. And I wanted to read you a quote. Even Alexander Hamilton didn't believe that it was possible to bring a state to the bar. And John Marshall, the Chief Justice of the Supreme Court, is perhaps the second most renowned consolidationist, we would call that progressive today, of the founding generation, and he agreed with Hamilton that a state cannot be called at the bar of the federal court.
Wow.
Now you see, that's what I was talking about when what's her name from down there in Arizona,
yep,
answered to the charges. She has,
yep,
got to know better than that. And so does,
I think.
If she doesn't, her state's attorney general should. They have no,
yeah,
business answering to some federal BS in a federal,
right,
court. They're a sovereign state, and it's by God time that the states started acting like it.
Yep. I think they're going to, Ron. I think that Wisconsin's a green light to the others who are conservatives, and red states will do they'll follow suit. California is like just a mess, but at least we had a couple victories, you know, here in, I think it was San Jose and San Diego, they were trying to do pension reform, and they're saying no to the unions, even in democratically controlled cities. So these are steps in the right direction. I'm not sure about all the hope for, you know, if there's any hope left for California, but I'm going to keep fighting. So, you know, I just want to educate everybody and stay focused on what the truth is and get it out there. That's all I can do.
That's absolutely all we can do, and, you know, try to stay on the side of what's right. And
I'm doing it. Thank you, Michael, so much for taking our calls, and it was an awesome program today. God bless Bob Chapman's family, and I know Bob's up there hanging out with the Lord, so that's really good. And Ron, it was great to hear your voice today, and so everyone in the chat room, and I'll let you guys finish it up, and thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Linda. God bless you.
Okay, good night.
Thanks for calling in, hon. And Michael, I want to tell you that I really appreciate your time here and your efforts on Patriot Families and everything that you do. You're definitely an asset, and we miss it when you're not around. And I just want to give a shout-out to my buddy Rod Luke. I hope he had a great dinner. He was venturing out to the Red Lobster. So I hope he had a good meal. And God bless everybody. Thanks for having me on. And I'll be on tomorrow night right here at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
Thank you so much, Ron. God bless you for all that you do. We appreciate it greatly. You have a great evening, and we'll looking forward to hearing you tomorrow evening.
God bless you, sir.
Bye-bye. Okay, we are down to a few minutes here anyway. We did a special show this evening in remembrance of the very great person, Mr. Bob Chapman, who did a great deal for everyone in this country, even for those who did not know him. And he will be in our prayers and thoughts for a long, long time. And I can just say that I am so pleased that I had a chance to be able to spend time with Mr. Chapman on doing interviews on Blog Talk Radio with him. He was just a pleasure to know as a person and a patriot, and much love to him and his family. Looking a little bit into the future here, today you listen to, of course, Michael Magic exposing the illusion, which normally starts at 7 o'clock, and we started at 7 o'clock tonight. Tomorrow night you can listen to Ron, who was just on air with us, at 7 p.m. That's Sunday, tomorrow night, 7 p.m. on the Fed Up Frank show, and he will be filling in for that. On Monday, you can listen again to Mr. Ron Golden, the very knowledgeable, at 7:30 p.m. Eastern with the Constitution Hour. On Tuesday, you can listen to, hopefully, Mr. Hollis will be back to his usual self, and Mr. Bill Strong as well will be there. That's at 7 o'clock on Tuesday. On Wednesdays at 7 o'clock, you can listen to Linda Sills, who was just on the phone with us from California. That's Wednesday at 7 p.m. Her show is Right from the Left Coast. On Thursday, you can listen to the very knowledgeable Terry Rowland. If you want to know what's going on in your school system with your teachers and your kids and the politics of education, Terry will tell you. On Fridays, hopefully we will have something there with Brian, and he usually talks about foreclosures, and he can help you with foreclosure problems. And hopefully, I will try next Saturday at 7 p.m. to get back on here myself. And I'm not going to go into why I haven't been on the past few weeks, but a few people know anyway, but I'm not going to go there. And we have 6 minutes left, so I want everybody to remember that your greatest asset that you have in life is Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Yes, we need guns. Yes, we need water. Yes, we need food. We need to be ready for what is about to befall us in these drastic times that are coming up. But please remember that we need to have, first and foremost, Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. He is the greatest asset that you will ever had. And do whatever you can do to save our republic and the United States. And whatever you do, until next week, please do not ever, ever, ever dream that it's over.
Yeah.